First Samuel. Got a Halloween special this morning. So going to talk about witches and seances and dead people speaking, and it's perfect for the season. First Samuel chapter 28. I say that a little lightheartedly. This chapter is really dark. It's rough. It is rough. 1 Samuel 28. You're probably the same way in this. In the last, this year, not the whole year, but maybe 6 months or so, it seemed like so many people that I know, and you're probably the same way, or either been deathly ill, have died. There have been more funerals probably in the last 6 months than, I've seen in ever, maybe. It's you come to that point eventually in your life where you sort of realize, every decisions you've made the decisions, and this is what you live with, and this is what you die with. Saul comes to that point in his life here, and I don't want to tell you a scary story this morning for the sake of Halloween, but I am going to tell you a scary reality, and I don't want to end this on a bad note, because there's hope in Jesus Christ. But I do want you to understand the severity and the reality of this situation that you're about to read about. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up whom I shall name unto thee. The woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And he said, An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executeth his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. It means they'll be dead. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. Let's stop there. Obviously, it's a sobering thing. You're reading about a seance. You're reading about a witch. You're reading about a medium, a man who is desperate for some light in his life, just desperate for light. And the Lord had made a decision earlier on in Saul's life. He's not going to talk to Saul, because every time he talked to Saul, Saul didn't listen to him. And so the Lord stopped talking to Saul. And you've come to the point in Saul's life. This is the last night of King Saul's life. The Lord stopped guiding him long ago, when he stopped taking direction from the Lord. And now, absent of any divine revelation, of any peace, of any comfort of any sort, Saul seeks the counsel of a witch, a medium specifically. And it is so, the scene is so fateful. It's so fateful. If you remember years ago, 1 Samuel 15, Samuel told Saul, look, your rebellion is going to catch up with you. And he said this. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And what a fateful night now. Saul finds himself in the company of a witch, trying to find information, trying to get some light, some direction for his decisions in life. And Samuel had warned him years ago, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He would say, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Listen to this. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. What you do with the words of God determines what God does with you. That's something to keep in mind. And Samuel had put it perfectly, exactly right. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so the night before Saul dies, he finds himself not with the Halloween character, a real witch, a real familiar spirit, and he finds himself trying to get some information that God's not going to give him. So I want you to notice first, this chapter is very dark. I don't want to end this on a bad note, but I want you to get the reality of this. You know, when Samuel said what he said about rebellion and witchcraft, when people turn to things like palm reading and astrology and what's my sign in the stars and horoscopes and things like that, what you're saying is, I don't hear anything from God, so I'm going to turn to these things to find information about my life. And the reality is, those things don't have any information about your life. Now, they may say some things that sound like your life, because that's what they're designed to do. But they don't have any information on your life. You say, well, I've had some strange experiences with this. I'm sure you have. Well, hopefully you haven't, but I'm sure some of you have. Those things are designed to replace the voice of God. And when someone has stopped hearing from God, or they've rebelled against the words of God, and they say, you know what, I want an alternative voice in my life. So they turn to these other things. Ouija boards or whatever. And it's not all seances and astrology and palm readings and things like that. You find out in Acts, witchcraft is big business. Witchcraft is a business model for carnal people, for people who don't hear from God. How much of the stuff you're entertained with deals with witchcraft, magic, and you know what it is? It's entertainment. And what you find is people who are at odds with God embrace things like that. Entertained. Saul wasn't going. Let me make a distinction here. Saul wasn't going to be entertained. He was going to find information. But you'll find people who are. At odds with God are entertained by witchcraft. It's entertaining stuff. It's entertaining to the flesh. It's carnal stuff. It's big business. In Acts, one of the things that the people did when they got saved, one group of people, they took all of their sorcery books and burned them. Meaning there was enough sorcery books around, and it was a substantial amount of money. And so there's business in it. There's money in it. But this whole chapter, it's very, very dark, very sad. The first few verses tell you that God was silent. Here's Saul. He goes out. He's getting ready to, I think he wants an excuse not to have to fight. And so he, instead of dealing with the Philistines, instead of dealing with the armies against God, you know, like David just dealt with them, Saul would find reasons not to have to deal with all of them. And so I think this is kind of the same thing. He sees the Philistine army and he's scared. And he wants a way out of it. And so he goes to maybe pray about it. He's looking for some answers. He maybe asked God, Lord, help me. I need some direction. But the Lord had tried to give him direction so many times in his life, and he just didn't care. And so the Lord had made a decision. I'm done talking to you, which is, I hesitate to say this, but some of our theology says, you know, if you're still breathing, there's still a chance. You probably heard that. You're, hey, I'm not dead yet. Saul wasn't dead yet. And God was done with Saul for years. That's scary. He was done with Saul for years. And when God was done with Saul, it didn't mean Saul dropped dead. Saul lived out his life. And God was completely done with Saul. That's some scary stuff. I hesitate to say that just because what good does it do to tell you that? If you're in that case, what good is it going to do? I mean, I don't know. I hope nobody's in that case. But the reality is we have this theology that, you know, when God's done with someone, you're out. But you read the Bible and God's done with a lot of people that just keep living on and keep committing wickedness and keep rebelling against God. And he lets them live. That's baffling. Why? Why do good people, why do young people, people who are faithful die young? The age-old question. So here's Saul. He's been a king for 40 years. God's been done with him for a long time. Here he is begging God, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And the response is, Nothing. No answer. No preacher that shows up. And by the way, it's interesting that he notes he didn't answer him by dreams, Urim, or by prophets. That if God is sending prophets, or you could say sometimes preachers, then that means there's probably a chance. When he stops sending preachers, he's done. He's done. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh, 40 days, done. There wasn't going to be another prophet show up. That was it. But Nineveh had the right response. God stopped talking. God is silent. You think about your own life. You need to think about this because this is sobering stuff. You think, what's the last thing you heard from God? And what's the last thing you heard from God that you did? What's the last time you heard God say, hey, do this, don't do this? I mean, whatever it is. Love this person. Stop encouraging this person. Whatever it is. You knew the Lord said, do this thing. And you said, okay, I'm going to do it, or okay, I'm not going to do it. When's the last time you could say, you know what, that was the Lord speaking, and he showed me from the scriptures, he showed me from a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, he showed me from a preacher, this is something that needs to happen. When's the last time that happened? And I ask that question because most of us just live in our own voices most of our lives. We just live in our own heads. We live in our own worlds. We have a Bible. What do we do with the Bible? We have the words of God. What do we do with it? You know what Saul had access to? What no other nation had access to. He had access to the words of God. Yet every time God spoke, he rebelled. He didn't listen. He rejected it. And now he finds himself in a time of crisis. Help, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And the Lord he's moved out years ago. He left. And so Saul, in this horrible, hopeless condition, really, he says, go find me someone that has a familiar spirit. Find me a witch. Find me somebody who can perform a seance, you know? Somebody on Oprah or something. Somebody that can perform a seance and bring up somebody I know who can tell me about life. You know why it's called a familiar spirit? Because you know the spirit. It's Uncle Joe. It's Aunt Betty. Not Betty. It's that was just the name that came to mind. It's whatever. Susie. But you know the person. That's the point of the familiar spirit. It's familiar. Who am I talking to? Oh, you're talking to Uncle Joe. This is Uncle Joe. This is no more Uncle Joe than the man on the moon. But it's a familiar spirit. That's why that wording is that way. It's familiar. You know it. And so Saul says, get me a... What are some of those names of those psychics? I can't remember now. Oh, man. Who? Walter McDowell? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, the guys on the TV shows and whatever, bring me somebody that can bring up somebody I know that can help me. So they go to this witch. Which is a little bit suspicious because she's already been run out of the country by Saul. And you say, well, that was a good thing to do, but bad people do good things sometimes. It's just what they do that. He had run him out of the country, and so now he finds himself trying to find this witch. And somebody says, well, there's a witch over in Endor. I've never seen one of these shows. But I heard the witch on, anybody watch or ever watched, of course you're not going to raise your hand now, but Bewitched. Yeah. All right, perfect. Okay. The old Bewitched. Yeah. What's the name of the witch? Endora. You know where they got that? Endor. The witch at Endor. That wasn't just come out of thin air. That came from 1 Samuel. The witch at Endor. So you got a TV show about a witch named Endora. And she's pretty and she's lovable and she's huggable and she's, you know, very enthusiastic and happy and funny and all that kind of stuff. Because that's the way it's portrayed. That's the way it's portrayed. So Saul says, find me a familiar spirit so I can get some information. They can hold a seance, bring somebody up, and I can ask them some questions. So go to this witch, and Saul says, I need you to bring up a spirit. And she says, which spirit? Saul says, I need you to bring Samuel up. Now, I don't understand all this. I don't understand how this works. I don't know. But she does something, and I just imagine it like I've seen it on TV, where they're having this seance, and she starts to speak, because it doesn't look like Saul sees Samuel. He just hears Samuel speaking through this person. And Samuel is speaking through this witch. And I mean, Saul is just, I mean, he's asking what this witch sees, and she says, I see him, and he's an old man, and he has a cloak on and a mantle on, and then Saul asks this question. And this is the unreasonableness of witchcraft. Saul says, ask him, should I go to battle or should I not go to battle? That's what he wants to know. I mean, you know, am I going to lose in battle? What's going to happen here? And Samuel answers. And Samuel answers with the most reasonable thing you've ever heard in your life. He says, well, what did God say? And the answer is, well, God isn't talking to me. And he says, well, what do you think I can tell you? If God is not giving you information, what in the world do you think I have insight on? I am not smarter than God. I do not know more than God. And if God is not going to tell you an answer, what in the world do you think I have an answer for? Furthermore, Samuel notices, and how this works, I don't know. I don't understand it, but it's in the Bible. Samuel says, because this whole scenario has played out exactly like I said years ago, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and now here we are. Because this is where you've come, Saul, this is the crossroads, life and death. Here we are, crossroads. Because you're here now, your rebellion has come to fruition. This is where you're at. And tomorrow in battle, you and all your sons will die in battle. Can you imagine that news? Now you know. People say, well, what would you do if you had a week left to live? If you're Saul, what do you do when you have less than 24 hours to live and you know how you're going to die? You know what you do? You get hopelessly depressed. I don't want to eat. I don't want to sleep. I want this thought of my death out of my mind. I don't want to do anything. And so Saul hears from Samuel, tomorrow You and your sons will all be dead. And here's the brutal reality of the situation. Saul has come to the point in his life where all his decisions have now, what do they say? The chickens have come home to roost. This is where you've ended up. You don't have any more opportunities. You're not going to have any more life ahead of you. This is where it ends here. And you know what that is? As unfortunate as it is clarity in the face of death. It is, I regret every decision I've made in regards to God in my life now. And if I could, I would go back and take away every decision. But the reality is, I can't. I've made decisions. And now I find myself here. You are where you are as a result of the decisions you've made. You are where you are as a result of the decisions you've made. Saul is where he is as a result of the decisions he's made. It's that time in everyone's life when they stand face to face with the decisions they've made in regard to God. And you can't change what you've done. You can't go back on these things. And it is a brutal reality. Now, here's the advantage that you have right now. You're sitting in a congregation in a service and you're hearing this. So you can change direction. You can start making different decisions. You're not necessarily in Saul's position. You might be, but you don't know that. As far as you're concerned, you have a lot of life ahead of you, and you can change decisions, listen to the Lord, start making different decisions, and all that. When Saul got to this point, there's nothing to do. You just have to feel the emotions of a life you've lived in rebellion to God. You have to process all of that rebellion now, all of that darkness, all of that, the Lord said this, but I'm going to do this. The Lord said this, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Oh, Lord, help me. There is no Lord to help you. There is a Lord, but he's not in the helping mind right now. And he's not going to be in Saul's life. There's clarity in the face of death. Come face to face with your own mortality. I remember sitting, it's been a little while, I was in the hospital with somebody had called and said somebody's dying, and this is pre-COVID stuff. Somebody's dying and literally they have tonight to live, maybe. So I went into the hospital and It was so sad. Nobody knew if the person was saved. They couldn't talk very well because they couldn't breathe. And so I'm holding his hand. Man's probably 80 years old. I don't know. Older man, holding his hand, asking him just to squeeze my hand if he understands what I'm saying. And so I go through the gospel, and as I'm going through the gospel, he's squeezing my hand tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. And so I pray, and the family says, well, is he saved? And I'm like, how do I answer that question? What am I supposed to say? I don't know. I said, he responded to every question, and it seems like he was agreeing, like, you know, yes, I agree. I agree to this. But to come to that point in your life and deal with those kinds of questions And then have your family ask those kinds of questions. What are we supposed to do? I mean, his life never exemplified anything that was Christian, so what do we do with this? Everyone wants to put him in heaven, but how? How do I just put him in heaven? Saul is at this point, he has come face to face with the reality of his own mortality. It's like the man that was going to build bigger barns, you know. I got a successful business. I got operations. I got stuff I got to take care of. So I'm going to tear down these small barns and build bigger barns. We got more investments to make. Are investments bad? No, investments aren't bad. They are bad when they replace investments in your soul. The problem is you keep doing all these things and neglecting your soul. You keep occupying your mind if you're a grown-up with business and sports and hunting and whatever else there is. And if you're a kid, it's sports, it's celebrities. Maybe if you're a grown-up, it's celebrities. All to the neglect of your soul. And then you find yourself in a case like Saul's position. And I'm trying to be a warning to you. Don't find yourself in this position. Don't get here. Don't wait this long to finally seek God. You know what he said? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Not seek him on my terms. Seek him while he may be found. You know what we're all going to leave? Well, if I just say a prayer, God just hears it. Nonsense. That's not true. You go through the Bible, God just doesn't hear prayers just because people say prayers. There's a lot of prayers he just doesn't listen to. You have not because you ask not. You have not because what you're asking, you want to consume it on your lusts. God doesn't equip souls to consume things on their lusts. He's not in that business. Saul's trying to find a way not to die. I'm going to read you something here in Isaiah. Because Isaiah asked this question about the living and the dead. I'll just read it to you. It's in Isaiah 8. It says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God?" What are we doing? "For the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." They're not speaking according to the light of the words of God. Why? Because there's no light in them. Why are they going to wizards and witches and familiar spirits that peep and mutter and mumble and why are they doing that? Because they can't hear God. God's not speaking. Boy, Saul he's in a bad way. You know how he got this way? I would say this. I would say, beware of witchcraft. Beware of witchcraft. Happy Halloween. Beware of witchcraft. But witchcraft is a symptom of a problem. Witchcraft is sort of the maggots on the corpse. It's not the thing. It's the fruit of the thing. What was the thing? Well, the thing was rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Saul, the reason you find yourself in the company of Endora the night before your death is because of rebellion against God. You weren't ignorant of the things that God asked of you. You weren't ignorant of your position. You loved your position. You loved being king. It came with a lot of accolades. Came with a lot of honor. It came with a lot of pomp and circumstance. And it came with a lot of stuff. You liked being king. But you didn't want to be king God's way. And every time God asks you to do something and put a little responsibility on you, because you're the king, you said, no, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. Saul wasn't characterized by being in witchcraft his whole life. It was rebellion leads to this. This is where you've come now. This is where you are. And the reason you're here is because you don't hear God speaking. So I would say, beware of witchcraft. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, you could say that, but it's more like beware of rebellion to God. And when God speaks, you would do well, I would do well, to pay attention and do what He's asking to be done. Or stop doing what He's asking to stop doing. Rebellion. Beware of rebellion. It's like witchcraft isn't the virus. It's like the fever. It's the symptom. It just says you don't have any other almighty voice in your life. And so this is the voice you've turned to. The voice of this familiar spirit. The voice of this Ouija board. The voice of this astrologer. The voice of this horoscope. The voice of this celebrity. And why did we go there? Well, it's because we don't have the voice of God. And it may not be that you don't have it. It may just be, in Saul's case, you didn't listen when you had it. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So here's what Saul does. I'll finish this chapter here and tell you what happens. I tried to give you something hopeful out of this. Verse 21, the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice. I put my life in my hand, have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid. Let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. His servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth, sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf in the house. She hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul, before his servants, and they did eat, and they rose up and went away that night. Saul is, he is inconsolable. Inconsolable. I don't know how else to drive this home, but reading what you've just read about this man's life, that when the Lord speaks, please listen. Don't just hear, do. I know that probably could sum up 75% of the sermons preached. Don't be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. But over and over and over and over, we don't listen to God. We listen to these other voices. We find ourselves in these catastrophes. Most of them aren't life-threatening. I mean, and obviously if they were life-threatening, most of us wouldn't be here. But we find ourselves in these catastrophes. Where is God where is God? Where is God? And the answer is, you left God years ago. God has not been a part of your decisions for years. God has not been a part of your relationships for years. And now you say, where is God? The answer is, where did you leave him? Where did you leave him? Saul is inconsolable. He doesn't want to eat. I imagine he just, last night of his life, he wants to think. You know how you try to trick your mind and just, well, but maybe it's not true. Maybe it's not true. Maybe I'm just looking for hope. Your mind's just looking for hope. Where's the hope? Where can I grab onto? Maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something here. Not for Saul. There isn't. There isn't. The good news is for you, you're here, you're in a congregation, you're listening to the words of God. There is hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. That light is the words of God. And the reality is, what are we doing coming to hear the words of God if we don't intend to do anything with the words of God? What are we doing? This is just religion. It's just, I believe a King James Bible. You don't believe a King James. You have a King James Bible. You know arguments about a King James Bible. You don't believe a King James Bible. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope. The sober warning with this. The sober warning. You know, this is great for Halloween. It's just not fake. It's just real. This is somebody's life. This isn't the scary guy with the chainsaw who puts on makeup and scares everybody. This is somebody's life. This is somebody with kids. And this is where they end up. Why do they end up here? They end up here because they would not listen to God. You know, with young folks here, we got young folks here. If you ever wonder, why are mom and dad so adamant about this and that? You know why? Because mom and dad have walked down that path. And when I look down the path and I see you're not listening to God, I know where that path goes. And you know where that path goes. Well, why do they got to be so hard? Why can't I do this and why can't I do that? What's the deal with the Bible and all that stuff? It's because we can see down the road. And you know who can really see down the road? God can see down the road. Years before this, God, through Samuel, said to Saul, a man early on in his rule, Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And now, here we are. It's like this chapter could be called, I told you so, just as much as it could be called anything else. But there's a good warning here. There's hope. You know what the hope is? Listen to the words of God. Listen to the Lord speak. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to be careful of this. Hey, I'd like you to be doing this. Hey, I'd like you to stop doing this. Hey, here's some good friends to make. Here's some bad friends to stay away from. Hey, here's a way to raise your family. Listen and do. Listen and do. Saul is a great example of what never to do. And it's so sad. This chapter is so dark and so sad. He finally gets clarity at the end of his life. And now it's just regret, regret, regret. Don't do this. Don't do this with your life. Don't do this with your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to the words of God. And let's make the changes the Lord asks us to make. He can see down the road. He can see down the road. No surprise. You know, it's no surprise that in the world witchcraft is big business. It just characterizes people in rebellion with God. It's no surprise that this is the entertainment. It's no surprise that this is what we enjoy. This just characterizes people who don't want to hear God. I'm not saying it's you know, again, Saul's not there for entertainment. He's there for information. He needs help, and he's not going to get it. Take it as a lesson. Take it as a warning. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to be whatever. It's just it is dramatic. What happened in this chapter is dramatic. It's real. People's lives. It's not Halloween costumes. It's real stuff. Because of their relationship with God, this is what happens. Because of your relationship with God, XYZ happens. What you do with God's word determines what God does with you. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Alan, how about you dismiss us in prayer?